The Rudin Report Live presents Nothing But Net, a look at Connecticut high school basketball with Dave Rudin on WICC 695.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Nothing But Net. I'm Dave Rudin. We're brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Fresh food, serve fast. Hope you're enjoying this frigid last 2 weeks, frigid Sunday. We got a good show for you today. Joining us in a little bit is going to be reigning player of the year and probably right now on his way to a repeat, Sean Wilson of Trumbull, having an outstanding season and coming off one of his best games Friday night. I was there to watch an impressive Eagles win over Stanford. Trumbull's one of the two remaining undefeated teams, along with, of course, Staples. And we've talked a lot about Staples this season. Probably have not given Trumbull their complete due, seeing what they've done so far. And we're going to take care of that this first part of the show. And joining me, as always, for the discussion is my co-host, Mike Walsh. Mike, how you doing?
Good morning, Dave. Doing very well. And I'm glad we're going to talk about Trumbull and Sean Wilson. Not only a great player, but a quality kid. And to see him leading his team to an undefeated season so far, and we're more than halfway through the SCAC schedule, is a pleasure, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I've gotten to know him pretty well. I can remember interviewing him when he was a sophomore. I have to look up. I'm writing a story on him this week, so I haven't really researched yet, but I'll find the game where he really had a breakout game as a sophomore. And I remember Buddy Bray, the coach, and everybody telling me there, watch out for this kid. You're going to be writing a lot about him. And that certainly has been the case and will continue to be the case. And as you said, one of the great things about him is just that he's a better kid than he is a basketball player. And he put on quite a Tour de Force show on Friday at home in 67-47 win over Stanford. I want to get what really has been the key to Trumbull's success in a second, but what really struck out in that game was what a complete player Sean Wilson is. He scored 23 points. I don't know how many steals he had, how many baskets in transition off of those steals, put back dunks at both ends of the court. And in the second half, Buddy Bray put him on 7-foot center Jordan Sutton, because Sutton had gone off in the first half of the game and scored 15 of the Black Knights' 19 points. And they shut him down in the second half. It wasn't all the defense. I think Stanford probably could have given him a bunch more looks than he got. But they held him to just 8 points in the second half. And, he was given away about 8 inches and just did a tremendous job fronting him, being able to deflect some passes away that led to steals or disrupted Stanford running the offense. And maybe the most impressive thing about the game with all the highlight real plays he made is he didn't get into foul trouble. He played real good, clean defense on Sutton and wasn't hacking him and wasn't hitting the arms and jumping all over him to deny him the ball. And I just came away from that game saying, maybe we don't always appreciate what a complete player he is.
No, I agree with you, Dave. And, he uses his quickness and his basketball IQ very well. And I think those two things are what's able to help him become a complete player.
I don't know, not that it's the most important thing, but I don't remember the last time, and it hasn't been that long that we've been given a Player of the Year award. I want to say it's maybe about 10 years. I don't know if we've had a repeat winner, if somebody won it as a junior, but right now with Trumbull being unbeaten, you gotta if you had to have the vote now, you'd have to give him the award again.
There's no question about that, and as I said before, well deserved.
Yeah, and there's some other top players, but You know what really has been the key to the success? And when we have talked about Trumbull, it's what we've pointed out. After the game, I'm waiting to interview Buddy, and he's going over the book, and Sean's with him as they're going through the book. It was funny. In the story, I said, I almost equated it like they're reading a bedtime story, the way he was reading it to him. But, you know, Sean Wilson, 23 points. You know, Josh Reed, not a player that's always come through in the supporting role for scoring. He had 17 points. Ryan LaMuth, 11 points. And Jaden Tuhays had 9. And Buddy's saying, you know, we almost put four guys in double figures. And when they're sharing the ball and hitting their threes, and they're already a good defensive team, they've really done a nice job of compensating for their lack of height.
Well, to be honest with you, I think Sean Wilson is the person that makes that happen. He makes everybody around him a little bit better, both offensively and defensively. And, you know, that's the mark of a great player.
And he plays like he's 6'5 or 6'6. I mean, it's funny. Game we'll talk about a little later. I couldn't decide whether I was going to go to Trumbull or if I was going to go to the Ludlow Ridgefield game up in Ridgefield. I know I'm going to Ludlow Tuesday. I'm going to Ridgefield next Friday. And I just thought if there was a time where, and I don't know, again, that we can use the word upset for any of these games, but if there was a time where maybe Trumbull would get a little surprised, maybe it would be because of the height differential, and that certainly was not the case.
Excuse me. No question about it. I think that they used their quickness and their advantage to their advantage. And, you know, that's what makes them undefeated at this point.
And we're going to get a chance to see. I know a week from Tuesday is going to be Trumbull at Staples, and possibly the story angle of two undefeated teams. You know, two undefeated teams in the league, which is going to be 15 games or so into the season, which would be quite impressive. And I told you this last week, the most intriguing game, and I didn't even look yet to see where it is on the schedule, but maybe the most intriguing game is going to be Trumbull Ridgefield for again, if we're just assuming Staples is this juggernaut, then I think those are the next two best teams. If I had to rate them right now, I would probably go Trumbull 2, Ridgefield 3. But, you know, if they played each other 10 times, maybe 6-4 somewhere.
I agree. I think you're 100% correct. That's the game that we're looking forward to. As we go into the schedule, because both teams have really developed and used their talent to win some games. So, again, kudos to Buddy and more kudos to Sean Wilson. They both brought that team together to the point where they're 8-0, and they're certainly a team to be reckoned with in the FCAC and maybe even in the States.
And he's just called in, so we're going to take a break. But, Mike, you'll like this one. I don't know if I told you this or not, but we can ask Sean. I think right now he's leaning towards maybe doing a post-grad year. But one of the schools that I know he's been in touch with, and I'll make the phone call tomorrow if he asks me to, is my alma mater, Union. And you know who plays for Union, our guy Jack Plesser. You could have how about Jack Plesser and Sean Wilson together?
That'd be a dynamic duo.
Two player. You know, we're going to adopt Union as the official college team of Nothing But Net. But
well, I hope you're not considered tampering by talking about Union and him.
There's no tampering here. I just told them that if I were to call, I would call as an alum who would want somebody like Sean Wilson going to the same school that I went to. But I'll tell you what, we can get it right from the Wilson's mouth. Why don't we take a break? And when we come back, we'll talk with Sean Wilson. You're listening to Nothing But Net on WICC.
A look at Connecticut high school basketball. Nothing But Net on WICC 600 and 95.9. The Voice of Connecticut with your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back, and we've been talking Trumbull basketball and Sean Wilson, and joining us right now is the aforementioned reigning FCAC Player of the Year, Sean Wilson. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing okay. You must be pretty happy with life with the Eagles right now. Did you think with this team you'd be undefeated at this point in the season, or are you a little surprised, even just a little surprised?
I'm not surprised at all. We put a lot of work in the off season, a lot of work in practice. We go after it every single day. So this is it's not really a surprising thing. We talk about if you know we do what we're supposed to do, go after it every day. You know, we'll win games. So it's not really a surprise to me or the rest of the team.
You know, I think people hear athletes say, you know, we did what we did in the off season. I don't know if they understand what that means. What did the team do in the off season to be in a position you're in right now?
So we would do conditioning a couple times a week. We'd also go over offensive sets. We would try to get in the gym as much as we can, get shots up, stay in shape. We would play basketball with each other outside of school setting, trying to build that chemistry early. And, you know, fall league, we also were in the fall league, the Milford Fall League. You know, we would discuss that a lot, talk about what went right, what went wrong. So by the time the season starts, we get some of those early mistakes out the way and we just keep rolling.
What are the most impressive parts of the team and the reason why you're undefeated? And I was waiting, I was with you and Coach waiting to interview him, and you guys were going through the book. And the one thing that was of note is that you had three players in double figures and another with 9 points. And you guys have been putting 3-4 players in double figures a lot of games. And it's not necessarily the same players every game. You've had probably, just looking at the roster, probably about 6 or 7 players who have scored double figures at some point this year.
Yeah, you know, each game someone else is stepping up, someone else is showing that they're capable of playing in a varsity basketball game. And, you know, it's kind of hard to lose when we're sharing the rock. Everyone's getting open shots and making shots. I think also one thing that's a key into our success so far is our defense. We always practice defense every single day, and we're giving out on the defensive end, and they say defense wins championships. I think if we keep it up, I don't think we're going to lose much or at all, even.
That's where I was going to go next. The defense is the perfect complement, and you guys play it well. We were talking a little bit before about Friday night, and you got put on in the second half after he scored 15 points. You got put on 7-footer Jordan Sutton, and you did a good job on him. You were about as good a job as anybody, you know, with such a height differential in terms of getting up there and denying the ball, and you guys held them to 8 points, and that was a big part of you being able to pull away. What was it like defending him?
It was hard, I can't lie. Like, he's good. He's been getting more skilled every year, and it seems like he's getting stronger too. He's a big dude, so you can't really, like, push him around, but you got to just make him uncomfortable and make him shoot it further away from the basket. We didn't want him getting those 6-footers. We wanted to kind of push him out into the mid-range because, you know, that's a lower percentage. That's probably a lower percentage shot. It's a shot that we're willing to live with instead of a 7-footer right at the basket who's going to dunk it in our face. And the physicality is also one thing we had to do. We have to stay physical with him and, you know, make all of his shots difficult.
Mike, jump on in.
Well, I just want to say that as a former coach, Sean, I really enjoy watching how your game is improved over the years. I saw you as a sophomore, I think, in a scrimmage against Bunnell, and I said to Colin Devine at the time, I said, that kid's going to be a heck of a player. And sometimes, you know, you develop and sometimes you don't put the work in, but you put the work in, and last year, player of the year, and, you know, this year, I think you've even gone further than that. You make all the other kids better around you. You know, you're just talking about who's scoring in double figures, et cetera. But one of the reasons they're able to score is you're able to find them and and give him the open shot. And it's a pleasure to watch. And, you know, keep up the good work. And my one question is, how much has Buddy Bray helped you as a player? He's a great coach. He's been around a long time. And we had some great battles. And I always respected him. And I think that he makes a player better. He develops the player. And I think in your case, that's true. I would assume you would agree with me on that.
Yeah, definitely. I love Coach Bray. He's been developing me as a player. He's always been there for me. We talk all the time, every single day, about games and stuff. And he's always just been that person I could talk to, always pushing me to be better. He only wants to see success for me. So some of the times I feel like he's being too hard on me, I know it comes from a place of love, and it comes from a place that he sees my potential and what I could be in the future.
Well said.
One of the things that I respect a lot about you, and that's real interesting, is you're the kind of player that sometimes leaves the FCAC and gets poached by the private schools. And, you know, certainly, I'm sure, and I'm going to ask him, I'm sure you heard from a lot of schools, but you decided to stay in and play with your high school and your friends, which in 98% of the cases, I think you should do, because I think a lot of times you're going to go to the same college if you stay at your high school that you would if you went somewhere else. But how much did you hear from the privates, and what kept you at Trumbull?
I didn't hear much. I didn't hear much, really. But even if they were to reach out, I would have definitely stayed, because my goal is to bring a state championship, an FCAC championship, home to Trumbull, where I live. And, you know, that's what we're striving to do.
There aren't a lot of other Sean Wilsons out there, but if there was a younger one and that player said that they were thinking of maybe going to a private school, but you stayed, why is it best to stay? What advice would you give them?
I feel like staying is important, because like you could become that hometown hero that brings home the championship and not just leave. I always my goal is to bring Trumbull a state championship. I wouldn't advise people to leave to go to a private school. I feel like a public school is kind of has the same amount of competition, if not better in some cases. But yeah, it's really just like, in my mind, it's all really about bringing Trumbull a state championship.
I couldn't say it any better if somebody asked me. I know if I ask you to look ahead, you're going to tell me you're only looking at Tuesday, and rightfully so, but if everything stays on course, a week from Tuesday in Westport, it's you and Staples, and you could be an undefeated team that's I'm sure we'll be looking at as a big underdog. You're human. You're going to say you're only looking at Tuesday, but it's got to be. It's just human nature. It's got to be in the back of your minds. What would a game where you're both undefeated be like?
It would be an exciting game, you know. Can't wait for that game. But, you know, I feel like you said, like I'm human, always thinking about next game. I feel like if I get too focused up on that game, you know, I could, in the blink of an eye, you know, we lose two in a row, and then leading up to Staples, we're not undefeated anymore. So, yeah, I always keep that in the back of my mind. But, like you said, my main focus is next game Monday for Snowball.
Is winning player of the year back-to-back a goal something you think about?
Yeah, I think about it all the time. But more importantly, you know, I'm team first. So if I don't win player of the year, but we win the FCS championship and the state championship, I'm the happiest man in the world.
I haven't asked you this question in like 2 or 3 weeks, but I was talking with Mike right before you came on. But have you made a decision yet what you're going to do next year?
Yeah, I'm looking more like my main option is a post-grad year. Stuck between a couple of schools, but hopefully I make my decision by the end of the season before spring AAU season starts.
Is Union still one of those schools?
Yeah, Yeah, it's still one of the.
What can I do to get you the union? Just think, you and Jack Plesser, two players of the year together.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Just look at how good I turned out. You know, that just goes to show you. You go to union, you could be actually. Don't look at me. Just
make your own decision. I'm best for you.
Yeah, wherever you decide to go is the right decision. So, hey, Sean, it's not hyperbole when I say you're a better person than you are a basketball player. And we all know what a great basketball player. So congratulations on everything you've achieved so far. Best of luck the rest of the season. I'm going to text you later because we got to do a little interview for a story I want to write on you. And thanks a lot for taking a little time here to talk with us.
Thank you for having me on the show. Hope you guys have a good day.
Okay, thanks a lot, Sean.
You too. All the best.
All right.
That was Trumbull, Sean Wilson, and Mike, I don't know if you've talked to him before, but you can see why we all say he's such a great kid.
No, he's an impressive young man and an example, I think, to a lot of other players, not only in the FCAC, but around the state.
It's not a word I use a lot with high school athletes, but he's a role model.
Absolutely, no question about it.
I mean, the thing that's kind of cool, I think there, you could make an argument if you had to do a ballot for a player of the year. I don't know who I would put third. I think Sean Wilson is definitely one, and Sam Klacko of Staples is right up there with him. And you couldn't get two better people, two better players that you want representing your community, the youth basketball players, than those two.
Absolutely, 100%, Dave.
So, well, why don't we take a break here? When we come back, I know Mike watched a good part of the Ridgefield Ludlow game. So, why don't we talk about the Tigers a little bit? And actually, before that, too, we didn't really talk too much about Jordan Sutton. I do want to go there as well. But we'll take a break. You're listening to Nothing But Net on WICC.
Let's hear what Dave Rudin has to say about this week in high school basketball. You're listening to Nothing But Net on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back and we're going to bounce around the league. But first, Mike, and we talked about him over the weekend. I just wanted to bring up a little bit more with Jordan Sutton. And it's interesting, his play. When I've seen him, and I go to what I consider the biggest game of the week, so he's always going up against good teams. I saw so much more positive about him that all the stuff that I hear about that I just haven't unfortunately seen in person. He had a tough game against Staples, but he's real good when he gets the ball within 10 feet of the basket. He's got a good short jumper, but he runs the court pretty well. He sometimes will get a little tired out late just because he's getting beat on the whole time. But he also he sees the court well in the half court, and he passes the ball pretty well too. A skill that doesn't necessarily get talked about. He's going to take it up most of the time, and he should. But if the path to the basket isn't there, he'll pass it out.
No, I don't disagree. He's got a tremendous amount of potential. And I know Coach Latour has been trying to develop that potential, but there's so much room for more improvement. And to be honest with you, I think a lot of it has to do with, the players around him. I mean, it's kind of difficult to kind of mesh all that together and develop him as the player that he can be. But I know he's 7 foot tall, and there's going to be a lot of college interest in him because they see that potential and they know that he can develop. And, he's going to be I think eventually he's going to be a Division I player. Now, what level at Division I? I think it all depends on how much better he gets. So, in answer to your question, he does a lot of good things. and he needs a lot of work in other areas. But he certainly has the possibility of being a really good college player.
Yeah, he's, you know, we've seen just people who are just tall and usually don't produce a lot, and they get talked just because they're tall. He's not like that at all. He's a legit skilled 7-footer. What's really hurt him right now is just he doesn't have the point guard who can get him the ball. On Friday night, he was on the court with a whole bunch of players that I think were on there for defensive reasons, and there wasn't the second scorer that could maybe open up the court for him a little bit. And it was a weird dynamic. You had a 7-footer on a starting lineup with three other guys who Dan said were 5'9" or smaller. I don't even know if any of them were 5'9". They were there. It was a small team except for him. But just imagine him if he had the point guard who could get him the ball again. We sort of jokingly fantasized him and Sam Klocko together. But you don't need the superstar guard. Even just a good point guard who could get him the ball. He just has to work a lot harder for his points than a 7-footer should.
Yes and no. I mean, I think the other kids are really trying to get him the ball, but sometimes he's not in position to get it. Sometimes they miss him when he is open. That requires a lot of repetitions and a lot of work, and I'm sure they're trying to do that, but it just hasn't worked so far anyway as the way they want it to work. But again, like you said, he does a lot of good things. And I think he's going to be okay. He reminds me a little bit of a kid I had, Pascal Chakou, who came over and, really had no basketball skills to start with. But as a freshman, developed it, and we won a state championship. And he got better as a sophomore. And then his guardian decided that he wanted to send him over to prep with his son. And he went to prep, and he developed and went on to play at Providence and then eventually at Syracuse. But he was a little bit more agile than Jordan, but Jordan is a little bit stronger and bigger. So he's gonna develop somewhere, and maybe it's in the AAU in the offseason, too, he's going to get better, or maybe, a prep school or something like that when he's finished at Stanford High.
Yeah, I agree. He's going to be a player. I have no doubt about that. And I think everything's going to click at some point, and he's really going to explode. And you're going to see, like, in the fall, a much different player than you did in the winter. He just needs to see the ball more, too. There were, I counted at least five times where he had, like, consecutive baskets and then doesn't even get a touch or they even look for it. It's just a strange team dynamic right now, but I saw so many positives and some aspects of his game that I just didn't get it. I haven't had a chance to see, but I agree with you. I have no doubt he's D1, and he's a good piece of clay to work with, and the sky's the limit for him. Let's bounce over to the other game that I was thinking of going to. And you watched a lot of, I know, on Friday night, and that was Ridgefield's win over Ludlow.
Exactly. It was a great game, to be honest with you. Unfortunately for Ludlow, they lost their point guard, Metz, about 2 minutes into the game. He got banged in the nose, and I think in talking to John, he told you that the nose was broken, which is so hopefully he'll be able to recover from that by the playoff time. But Ludlow gave them all they wanted, and then they were right with them, a point or two. I think they were down two at the end of three. And then, to be honest with you, I thought they just they tired out a little bit in that fourth quarter where they didn't get enough scoring, and the shots they did take missed. The most impressive thing to me was the defense on probably one of the top three players in the league in Genova. They held him to, and I say held him, to 13 points, which is really doing something. And then Foley had 12. Now, if you told me that Ludlow was only going to get give them 25 points between those two really good players, I would say Ludlow has a good chance to win. But stepping up for the Ridgefield Tigers, as someone always seems to do, was Jacob Hankla, I guess is his name. He had 15 points, number 10, and hit some big shots. And then maybe one of the bigger shots, his only points of the night, Humphrey hit a three-pointer to give him a lead in that fourth quarter. So, I mean, you know, it was a great performance by both teams, actually. And it was a great game to watch. And Ridgefield was able to wear them down in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Hankler actually had 17. And they got a whole bunch of guys there that that just can step up on any night. And I haven't covered Ridgefield since a week ago Saturday, but Winstanley wasn't in the book either. So they won without Winstanley, and obviously he's been in and out, mostly out. So I don't know what the injury is and what the status is, but that's a player that they're probably going to need to go out there and achieve their goals. And one of the promising things for Ludlow in defeat as well, and it's been a question mark for us that we talked about, was their perimeter shooting. And they actually had a good day from three-point range. They actually hit eight threes in that game.
Yeah, they hit the threes, but they hit the threes early. In that fourth quarter, I think they might have had one three, but they didn't score. I think they only had about 8 or 10 points coming down the stretch. But again, the effort that they gave was really, it took a lot out of them. And in that fourth quarter, especially the last 4 minutes. I mean, it was a tie game with 4 minutes to go. And then they missed foul shots, and they missed shots. And, you know, unfortunately for Ludlow, unfortunately for Ridgefield, they pulled away and won, I think, 62-53 or something like that. But you know what? If Ness is healthy and they play again, I wouldn't bet against Ludlow. They really played tough. They played hard. And gave Ridgefield all they could want.
Yeah, it was a 53-42 game, and Ridgefield outscored them 15-6 in the fourth quarter. And Ludlow only had one field goal in the fourth quarter, a three-point shot by Martino. It's kind of interesting, and he usually does a much better job on the line. But talking about the defense on Genova, but the defense Ridgefield did on Noecker, who only had 4 points going to the fourth quarter. And then, you know, just looking at the box score, not having seen the game, he got to the foul line 8 times. So obviously he was getting the ball in position down low and getting fouled. The problem was he was 3-for-8 from the line in the fourth quarter and 4-for-10. And he's a better foul shooter than that. So, yeah, you want him getting to the line. You just need him to get the shots.
Well, when you get to the line in the fourth quarter and you don't have any legs, hitting those foul shots is not easy.
Absolutely,
and, I think that's what happened.
Yep. I mean, two teams I think are you know, when both healthy, of comparable ability, and I think that's a place also where Ridgefield has a big home court advantage. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, a team that I've been on from the beginning, and Mike now is, I think, at least got one, if not both feet on the bandwagon, is New Canaan, which has been surging. Coach Danny Melzer said we're going to be a much better team as the season goes on, and they're on a hot streak right now. So we'll talk a little Ram basketball when we get back. You're listening to Nothing But Net on WICC.
Everything you need to know about high school basketball. The Rudin Report presents Nothing But Net with Dave Rudin. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back and finishing up the show here. We'll continue to bounce around the league a little bit. And let's go over to New Canaan, a team I just like, from the beginning, liked the personnel too much on this team. Even though they got off to a slow start, I just think there's a lot of talent here and a lot more talent than a lot of other teams have. And right now, the Rams are clicking. 2 wins this week to extend the winning streak to 5 games. You know, big game first with Stanford, get to face Jordan Sutton. and a 67-59 win, and then against the McMahon team that's kind of been all over the map, good some nights, struggle the other. They faced a good McMahon and got taken to overtime. And I didn't see it, but I guess McMahon inbounded the ball from underneath their own basket with 2 seconds to go, and there was a long pass and an easy basket. So the Rams were able to steady themselves and come away with a 61-56 win. You got to grind these out sometimes in the FCAC, and it was a big win for them, and they're playing real well. One of the better teams in the league right now, as we come down to 4 weeks to go. They're 10-3 overall, 6-2 in the conference.
Well, you know, I can't disagree with the record. They really had a great game against Stanford High. I thought the game plan was great, and they executed. They hit threes, they did a great job. The main game, I don't know if it was a letdown or what, but they were very inconsistent in that game, and they got behind. But Danny, as being the good coach that he is, switched to a zone, and McMahon had a lot of trouble with the zone, and New Canaan was able to come back actually from it, but I think it was an 8-point deficit, and take the lead with 1.9 seconds to go. And then, as you mentioned, length of the court pass, catch it and lay it up to tie it and send it to overtime. Now, that would deflate a lot of teams, but not New Canaan. They battled back and stayed in the zone and got the lead, and then McMahon couldn't figure out how to beat it, and they ended up beating McMahon in overtime. The two keys to New Canaan, they have been getting some points and also results of guys off the bench, but they still rely on Chapion, who had 23 against McMahon and had a good game against against Stanford, and Chandra. The two of them are like, the backbone of that team. And then you have kids like Blue Bertrand, and I think the kid George came off the bench and got rebounds for them. But they have a nucleus, as you say, and right now they had a good week, and they're 6-2, and they're going to make the playoffs. Where they're going to be in the playoffs, we'll find out as we go on. They have a game, I think, next week against West Hill, who has a good record. They're 5-3, but they haven't really beaten a quality team yet, but they'll have their opportunities this week.
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting how New Canaan's constructed right now. Sapion missed, I think two games, and New Canaan started playing better. They started sharing the ball, and I haven't seen them in a couple weeks. I don't know if maybe they were dependent too much on Sapion or deferential, but they started moving the ball better, and now it seems like with Sapion in there, reintegrate him into the offense, and they're taking full advantage of all their personnel. And then there was the coaching change that Danny made with Blue Verton and Dallas George. And rather than pout and let their game sink, they took the challenge, and they've come back, and they're playing really well. And, you look on the talent, you look at the starting five, they could bring a couple players off the bench. There are not a lot of teams that have the same personnel that New Canaan does.
Well, that's true, but again, they still have to get through the Richfields and the Trumbulls, and they even, I don't know if they played Ludlow yet or not, but
they lost to Ludlow by 18. That was the game. I was there. That was the game.
Oh, right. Yeah, you covered that.
That was the game that prompted Danny to kind of shake up the team a little bit.
Right, but I think they really need, as you say, Sapion and Chandra to continue what they're doing, to beat the Trumbulls and the Richfields be a factor in the FCAC playoff, which I'm sure they'll do. The thing that I like about New Canaan is that Danny's not afraid to change things up. He went to that zone when he was behind, and, as I said, McMahon had very little answers for it. McMahon has lost a lot of tough games. They lost to West Hill, I think by 2 points in a tough game, and they lost this one. They're 2-6, but they're much better than 2-6. You know, and a team we haven't talked about because they haven't really beaten anybody is Greenwich. They're very talented. Sandro Scott is one of the top five players in the league. I think they should be better than that, but we'll see as they have their schedule coming up this week.
I'll tell you what, and I had to go through this week. The other game I covered was Tuesday. I went to see Staples at Wilton. Basically, I hadn't seen Staples in a while, and you have to go see him a few times. But I'll tell you what, they have not played a game where they won by fewer than 22 points since January 13th, the 14-point win over Norwalk, where everybody was like, made it sound like a loss. But I went to the Wilton game, and they won 76-50. They beat Ward Friday by 33 points. They beat Greenwich by 27. You know, it's kind of hard from a sports writer standpoint, if I go to the game and they win like this, what do I write about? Nobody wants to read a game story. People don't like reading game stories as much anyhow. I try to look for a featurey angle. But, my story was sort of the state of Staples at midseason. But it's going to be tough to you go to these games if they're just blowing people out. It's sort of like, I don't know what I'm going to write about. What am I going to write about that somebody wants to read?
Well, you know, when you look at it, look, obviously Staples has been playing very, very well. And to maintain that for 20 games is not easy. And I think that, they're going to find that out. They'll have a close game before it's over. But they have the capabilities of overcoming that and winning out. Lastly, the game that surprised me, you talked about Wilton, was they came back. I don't know if it was a hangover or what, but they played Central at Wilton the other night and had a 15-point lead and ended up losing the game in overtime, which kind of surprised me. That was not a good loss for Wilton. It puts them at 4-4 with Stanford and Ward and, battling for those playoff spots at 6, 7, 8. Not a game you want to lose. But Joe will have him back. He'll get him together. And, I still bet Wilton is going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, they've got a lot of 50-50 games. To me, that game is the prototype, or not the pro, but that game to me is the result that we talked about right from the beginning, how you're going to have some of the teams that maybe we have like in the 10, 11, 12 spot that are capable of beating higher-ranked teams. And, it's not a good loss for Wilton, but when you saw the score, were you totally surprised? I wasn't.
Not totally surprised because, as you said, anybody in that echelon can beat any other team in that echelon. This week, Lotto's going to – I don't know where you're going, by the way, Tuesday. Where are you going?
I'm going to go to Staples Ludlow.
Okay. Well, maybe that's one of the nights where Staples has an off night. I hope that Metz is better and wears one of those face masks is able to play. Because that'll make the game more interesting. I think New Canaan West Hill, New Canaan might have too much for West Hill, but it could be an interesting game. And then I think...
We got on Friday, we have rivalry. Well, it starts Wednesday, but Friday is rivalry night. And I'm going to go to Ridgefield for the game against Wilton, which is probably the game that gets the biggest crowd each year. But as we finish up here, I told you Saturday afternoon I'm going to be reliving my old Stanford Advocate days, West Hill against Stanford, and we're going to have Jordan Sutton against Stevenson and Daquan Taylor. So it's going to be a turner. It's going to be it'll be an interesting storyline, the two great guards against the great center.
Well, and throw out the records because somebody other than those three people are going to end up being the hero in that game. Watch.
Now, I got to say, I have a lot of fun when I get to go back to Stanford. My advocate time was a lot of fun. Some of my best memories, and that's including going to Trinity Catholic games and seeing a lot of great players coached by someone who these players never had to be worried about getting subbed out for. But Mike, good show. We'll do this again next week. Thanks, everybody, listening
forward.
For Nothing But Net. We're brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Fresh food, serve fast. We have a lot to talk about next week. Thanks to Paul Goodman in the production chair there. Have a good week, everybody. See you next Sunday.